Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin nation.
May we always dwell on the sand, the sand, and
peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God of mercy, you are full of tenderness and compassion, slow to anger, rich in mercy, and always ready to forgive. Grant us grace to renounce all evil and to cling to Christ, so that in every way we may prove to be your loving children. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Le Seigneur a dit à Abraham, pars de ton pays, de ta famille et de ta maison, de ton père, vers le pays que je te ferai voir. Je ferai de toi une grande nation et je te bénirai. Je rendrai grand ton nom. Sois en bénédiction, je bénirai ceux qui te béniront. Qui te bafouera, je le maudirai. En toi seront bénies toutes les familles de la terre. Abraham partit comme le Seigneur lui avait dit, et Lot partit avec lui. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. second reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. What then are we to say? What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, or ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Words of truth be spoken, and only words of truth be heard. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you think about the amount of risk that each of us faces every day, it's amazing we ever get out of bed in the morning. From the risk of falling, the risk of choking, of being late, of being wrong, of colliding with other people, whether literally or figuratively. There's really no end to the number of times that we expose ourselves to risk in the course of a single day. Well, the truth is that if one is to do anything other than stay in bed, which of course brings with it its own risks, one develops over time a certain tolerance for risk, a capacity to face challenges and even danger with enough skill and confidence to overcome the obstacles and to get on with life. From the child letting go of the parent's hand and to walk alone, to the young person leaving home, to applying for jobs, to making financial decisions and considering treatment and health options, we all develop a risk tolerance based on weighing the risk against the potential benefits. Some of us here, like Abraham, have literally left home and country to go to a new and unknown place. Many of us have made sacrifices to invest in works of charity and compassion. Some may even have faced hostility and physical danger to stand up to what we believe in. But in every case, we do it because we believe the potential benefits make the risk worth taking. Today's scripture readings tell us that those decisions are acts of faith, because the success of the decision is never guaranteed in advance. To act on faith is to take a risk. The heart of the risk, in most cases, lies in letting go of what we already know, what we perceive as safe. Even if what is familiar is far from perfect, on some level, when we respond to a call in the biblical sense, we find what we need to go forward, to face the unknown, rather than staying put. And the heart of that is letting go. Taking risks can be scary. We need to consider what lies within our grasp when we do take those risks, even when we contemplate letting go of something familiar and comfortable. If every risk involves letting go, facing the risk also involves having access to other resources that we would not experience if we didn't take the risk. So in the first reading, God called Abraham to go to an unknown place, and the story says that Abraham went. Now, if he had known where his journey led, it wouldn't be that unusual a story, would it? What is unusual is that not only did Abraham believe that God would bless him as a result of taking the risk, that's really what most of us hope when we go out to try something new. Abraham believed the promise that he himself would become a blessing to others in the process. I wonder how many of us think in those terms when we're setting off to do something new. How can I be a blessing to others when I take this risk? Paul picks up on this theme in his letter to the Romans, saying that Abraham provides a model of faith for everyone who hears a call from God, from the Spirit, to go forward, to do something. Abraham's the model of a believer who sees the call of God at work in his life as a gift, not as a threat. Paul emphasizes that Abraham didn't earn the blessing that he received, and he didn't do it out of fear of punishment if he didn't go. He received the gift of faith as a source of courage to take the risk. His openness to it led to a right relationship, what Paul calls righteousness, with the God of love, in the midst of a world where it can be very hard to see love at work. Now, in his conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus refers to the faith that comes from believing in him as being like being born again. Here, the gift is seen as a life-giving freedom that allows us to see beyond the immediate risks and challenges to what he called eternal life, a life that reaches farther in all directions, in time, in depth, in impact, to stretch us beyond the limits that we would accept by definition if we respond to life's risks with fear instead of faith. Not only do we receive new life as grace, in Paul's terms, as gift, we receive the ability to say yes to the gift. The reason that this matters can be seen in just how immense the love of God proves to be when we consider the world God loves. It's such a well-known verse, isn't it? God so loved the world. But so much of the world is so far from deserving love. Claiming that God loves the world at all is a huge leap of faith. But to say that God so loved the world that he gave himself to save it, that's got to grab our attention. God loves this broken and suffering world and each broken and suffering person in it enough to take the risk that we face every day when we offer love with no guarantee that it will be recognized or returned. But God's love aims to save us if we agree to go just a little further into the eternal life that's being offered when we take a risk of faith. When we allow ourselves to be born of the Spirit, or born from above, or born anew, all those are ways of translating born again. When we can allow ourselves to be born, to have that faith born in us, Jesus says, love is at work saving us. God so loves the world that we become capable of loving it as well. Despite its flaws, despite the evil that is there, despite the risks involved in loving anything, despite how hard it is to see any benefit in letting go of something that feels safe, something that's familiar, and reaching out to something unknown or unclear or even scary. If we accept the risk to go, not only are we blessed with the gift of faith to see us through, we become channels of blessing to the world that is in such desperate need of the love that alone can save it from itself. May we, with Abraham, agree to go when called, and with him find the love we seek, waiting to accompany us every step of the way. Amen.
Loving God, if we speak, let it be by love. If we keep silence, let it be by love.
You are always seeking to give what is good, yet our hands are too full to receive it. Teach us to pray as though everything depends on you, and to labor as though everything depended on us. Quiet our anxious grasping, steady our willing hands, and make us vessels fit for the gift of your reconciling love. Physician of our souls, you have written your wisdom into the fabric of creation. The earth is not only your handiwork, but a letter from home, a fragment of our true homeland placed in our keeping. Yet without you, we become guides to our own undoing. Forests thin, waters strain, climates falter under the weight of our impatience. Teach us the patience, that patience is the companion of wisdom. Heal the wounds we have laid upon field and sea and sky. Empty our hands of careless excess and school us in gentler stewardship. Spirit of truth and grace, you gather scattered hearts and breathe quiet courage into weary souls. You bind us together in communion, deeper than agreement and steadier than circumstance. Where the world is restless, you form in us a gentler belonging. Bless Anne, our metropolitan, Shane, our primate, and Gary, our rector and pastor. Sustain them with deep assurance in their calling. Let their leadership bear fruit in wisdom, and may they know the quiet reward of faithful service. Lord Jesus, companion of the sorrowful, you are nearer to us than we are to ourselves, present in the ache of the body and the weariness of the soul. In our deepest wound, let us glimpse not only frailty, but your hidden nearness. Where healing may come, grant it. Where suffering must be endured, let patience be its companion and hope its quiet light. Sustain those who tend them with faithful hands. Let their quiet service be strengthened by your grace. For love endures in adversity and is never wasted in you. Be their strength in fear, be their peace. In every room of waiting, let your gentle presence abide. Lord Jesus, our peace and refuge, you do not come with the force of conquest, but with the strength of mercy. We lift before you the hungry in Cuba, the people of Gaza, of Venezuela, and those in Mexico who fear for their safety. Provide daily bread, protect the innocent, and gather these your children beneath your sheltering care. Be near to the people of Iran, whose homes tremble and whose nights are pierced by fear. Be their shield in the hour of danger and their steadiness. Take under your wing those most innocent among us, first to suffer the consequence of the decision of those charged with their safety. We pray also for the strained borderlands between Pakistan and Afghanistan, where brother stands against brother. Quell resentment between your peoples, shelter the vulnerable, guard the unarmed, and hold close those who grieve what has been lost. O Most High and yet most near, you hold the hearts of rulers in your hand, and you govern even those who govern. You are the source and measure of all wisdom and keeper and safeguard of every people. Grant to Mark, our Prime Minister, Doug and Francois, our premiers, Mark and Maud, our mayors, and to all who lead in these troubled days, sound judgment and steady hearts. Let not the people of the earth suffer for the ambitions of the powerful. Where the forces of war strain to be unleashed, leash them. Restrain what pride would set loose, and turn the will of nations from destruction towards the harder path of peace. For those whom we love but see no longer, we entrust them to your faithful keeping. What has been loved in you is not lost, but gathered into your mercy. For you are the God, not of absence, but of hidden life. Receive those who have departed into your peace. Be near to those who mourn. Teach us to trust that nothing entrusted to your mercy is ever forgotten, and that every tear is known and held within your eternal care. God of restless hearts, you have made us for yourself, and we wander until we rest in you. Gather our scattered fears, our divided loyalties, our anxious striving, all into the quiet of your presence. Reorder what is disordered in us. Heal what is wounded. Still what is restless. For without you, we are strangers, even to ourselves. Empty our hands of what we cling to, that we may receive what you long to give. Let love be rooted in us, and from that root let mercy grow, until each tear is wiped away, and every restless heart finds its rest in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our peace and our joy. Amen.
Savior taught us, let us pray.
Save us our sins.
to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and strengthen you and keep you today and always. Amen. Peace, to love and serve the Lord.